cause I'm feeling kinda taller than you
lately.
I'm feeling kinda stronger than you
lately.
I'm feeling kinda better than you,
and I know just what
matters. I'm a soldier now in this world. I stand alone, I can't be strong. I walk the miles, I made it home. It's good to know without you I made it. Soldier girl, in my world, I took the fall, now I stand alone.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Ask the Chief Radio Show here at WDRB Media. I am your host, Trinity Sunshine, and thank you again so much for dropping in to check out the show. This week is week three in a series of discussing the waiting rooms of life. And in today's episode, we're actually talking about the or discussing a waiting room I'm calling the waiting room of conflicted thinking. And I am going to approach this particular waiting room through the lens from a book that I've been reading called The Gospel of Judas. And we'll be exploring the burden of hard truths, the acts of courage, and identity shifts that comes with awakening when having to take on the responsibilities of difficult decisions, unpopular decisions, but decisions nevertheless that need to be made in order to meet the mission, to improve our lives, to protect our families, and to protect our own health, wealth, and sanity. So if you've ever wrestled with a truth that scared you, this episode may be a breakthrough for you. So stand by. I'll be right back. Talking about this waiting room of conflicted thinking. Because if there's one thing I know about veterans, especially veterans like myself who live with PTSD, is that many of you carry the fear that every confused moment, every forgotten task, every mental pause, every emotional contradiction is a sign that something is wrong with us. We walk in the room, it's like, oh, I don't know what I came in here for. That's not always PTSD. That's just life. Young people do it. Everybody does it. But we, having that spirit of taking on responsibility and being responsible for every all the use of our time. We want to make sure that we're being effective and efficient all the time. And sometimes we're a little hard on ourselves when we walk into a room and forget why we're there, only to turn around and go downstairs and remember and have to come back up again. So it's not all PTSD. Conflicted thinking is not broken. And it's not a diagnosis. It's just human. And to prove it, I want to take you to a place you may not expect. I surely didn't expect to find answers in this particular book that I'm reading called The Gospel of Judas. Now, this is not a book of the Bible. It's an ancient Gnostic text, a different lens, a different tradition, a different way of understanding the story of Jesus's life. This book called The Gospel of Judas. I never even knew Judas wrote a book. But anyway, kind of got off track there. Sorry. Whether you agree with it or not, we can learn something from Judas. It teaches us something profound about conflicted thinking. Judas does not have a great reputation amongst the people. He was considered a traitor. But in this text, Judas is not simply a betrayer. He is not simply a villain. He is not simply the cautionary tale. He is a man with a conflicted assignment. The book, in the book, it says, and I quote this one, it says, Judas does the will of God as explained to him in secret revelations by Jesus himself. In this telling, Judas is the one who helps release the divine spark within Jesus from the limitations of his physical body. A conflicted act, a painful act, but a necessary act. Had Judas not done what he did, Jesus would have not been crucified and released from his physical body. So if Judas hadn't done that, it's almost like, well, if not Judas, then who? And he was a man torn between loyalty. He loved Jesus. What I found fascinating in this book, the Gospel of Judas, is Judas talks about a time when Jesus had gone out praying, and when he came back, he laughed and at the disciples because they had fallen asleep, and he was like, "Man, they can't even stay awake, long enough for me to go pray and come back. Here they are sleeping." So that was the first time in my entire existence of knowing about the Bible and knowing this story about Judas that I read something that spoke about Jesus as a person with a sense of humor. And I thought that was pretty cool. But Judas was definitely a man torn between loyalty and destiny, between love and purpose, between what looks wrong and what is really required. And family, that is conflicted thinking at its finest example. And it is of ancient history. It is human, it is spiritual, it is part of the story of the world. So when veterans come to me and we are having these discussions, and like I was saying earlier, you walked in the room or you're like, "Oh, I didn't know what I came in here for. I had two thoughts at once, or I didn't know which one was right. I felt torn between what I wanted and what I needed." Sometimes our brains just feel scrambled. And the great thing that I have found is the camaraderie among veterans that I get to meet with in my peer groups every week. I'm able to voice all this confusion and knowing that I'm in a safe space and I'm not being judged. And it really helps to say it out loud, So you can make sure that what you're feeling is not, you're not, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just having a human moment. And we verify, yeah, that's not PTSD. That's just humanity. This is life. That's what we're living. So if you label every moment of confusion as traumatic, and if you label every contradiction as brokenness, if we label every pause as pathology, we'll live our life feeding an inferior, disqualified, or damaged, or doomed kind of diagnosis for ourselves. And that's not fair to us at all. And it's not fair to the people around us and the people that love us and look up to us and depend on us. Because many people without any diagnosis at all have these moments where their brain just goes, poof, I'm going to go to this other universe for 3 seconds. If Judas, in one of the most controversial texts ever written, can be portrayed as both a betrayer and an instrument of divine purpose, then our little conflicted thoughts don't disqualify us from greatness. Your contradictions do not erase your calling, and they definitely don't detract from who you are destined to become. Your mental pauses do not erase your value. Your moments of confusion do not erase your identity. Your conflicted thinking does not erase your nobility. Sometimes the greatest leaders in history, biblical, political, spiritual, military, they were people who lived in tension, people who held two truths at once, people who acted in ways that looked wrong but served a larger purpose. People who struggled internally while fulfilling something externally. So to my brothers and sisters in arms out there, hear me clearly. You are not broken because you have conflicted thoughts. You are not damaged because you hesitate. You are not inferior because your mind pauses. You are not disqualified because your thinking is complex. You're human. You're layered, you're multidimensional, you're navigating a world that is complicated, contradictory, and constantly shifting. And sometimes your conflicted thinking is not a symptom, but it's a sign that you're wrestling with something meaningful. Just like the apostles, just like the prophets, just like the leaders who shaped history, just like the people who carried assignments that didn't make sense until later. So today, I want to encourage you to step out of the waiting room of fear and into a waiting room of understanding, because you're not alone. You're not broken. You're not defective. You're not disqualified. You are human. You are thinking. You are processing. You're evolving. And sometimes conflicted thinking is not a flaw. It is a doorway to clarity. So I just want to remind you that even in your contradictions, you are worthy. Even in your confusion, you're purposeful. Even in your conflicted thinking, you are still becoming who you were meant to be.
Sometimes late when things are real and people share the gift of gab between themselves. Some are quick to take the bait and catch the perfect prize that waits among the shells. But Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the evening or the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round. Smoke glass stained bright color, image going down, 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 down. Soap-sud green like a ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. And cause never was the reason for the the Tropic of Sir Galahad. So please believe in me when I say I'm spinning round, 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 round.
So let's talk about where this waiting room of conflicted thinking is. Conflicted thinking. Yeah, it works your tongue a little bit. The waiting room of conflicted thinking is the room where our minds wrestle with what is real, what is possible, and what is required. And I want to take you back to the text that shows us this struggle in a new way, not modern, but psychological, not pathological. It's ancient, the Gospel of Judas, the Gnostic text that I mentioned earlier. It paints Judas not simply as a betrayer, but as a man with a conflicted assignment, a man who carries a truth so heavy that it isolates him. A man who must act in a way that looks wrong, feels wrong, and will be judged as wrong, yet somehow serves a larger purpose. In this text, Jesus tells Judas something very extraordinary. And again, the book that I'm referencing is called The Gospel of Judas. In the text, Jesus tells Judas, "You will attain your salvation, even though you will grieve and be rejected." So you got to do this. It's not going to be popular. They're going to talk about you. They're not going to be your friends anymore. You're going to be blocked. But this is it. It has to be done. And you're the guy that has to do it. Tag, you're it. How does a human being carry a truth like that? How does a person walk forward knowing that grief is guaranteed? Knowing rejection is inevitable? Knowing your path will not be understood, knowing your destiny will not look noble to anyone in history. That is conflicted thinking. That is emotional tension. That is psychological weight. That's heavy. That's spiritual complexity. We want to heal, but we're afraid of what healing will require sometimes. We want peace, but we get used to the chaos. We want connection, but we fear being misunderstood. You want to move forward, but part of you is stuck in the past. You want to be strong, but you're tired. You want to be seen, but you hide. All these conflicting things going on in your mind. And I remember standing in my uniform during inspections. And there was always, it seemed like, a chaotic turmoil, a storm going on the inside. Like, if my outside looked like my inside, I would not have made it through that inspection for sure. You know? Yeah, but all of these things that we talked about and all of these ways that our brains are working, we know how to hold it together because it's required of us. And these are not signs of brokenness. They're signs of just, they're signs of strength. But there's danger sometimes in living in that conflicted mindset. Sitting in that room can be dangerous. When we label every conflicted thought as PTSD, when we label every moment of confusion as trauma, when we label every contradiction as damage, we begin to believe that we're inferior, disqualified, or beyond repair. And that is just not true. So I consider myself victorious every day, having lived through that and having those traumas be my testimony. We can turn it around, but we need each other. Not every forgetful thought equals PTSD, equals trauma. When we started putting things on a scale and walking into a room and forgetting that wasn't just related to PTSD, 5% fell off of that scale. So now, it's not 100% of everything that I do is PTSD. I just took 5% off because in the world in general, people every day have that action. People forget things. People say things twice. So we learn through our experiences, and then we can share with other people to say, okay, I just heard you say that all this happens to me and it's because of my PTSD or because of another diagnosis that I have. I want to encourage you to start taking those percentages of things off of your plate, taking those off of your diagnostic chart, and then you can start to feel a little bit lighter as you go through life, and you can feel more of your normal self and thinking that, huh, let me just laugh this off because yesterday I said I came in this room, couldn't remember anything, and it's because I'm broken. It's because I can't think straight. It's because I'm stupid. When in reality, my teenager just walked up here and didn't know what they came for. That's why I'm here. Give yourself some grace. Because it's not always a symptom that you're suffering through. Sometimes it's simply the mind trying to hold on to two truths at once. But here's the part that we don't talk about enough, and that's just accepting the certain truths about ourselves that sometimes we could just feel impossible without support. We need each other, y'all, because some of the truths are too heavy to carry. But hopefully after today you'll knock a couple of percentages off of that 100% and you'll be lighter in walking through life. Some truths require a wider lens. Some truths require someone to help us see the full picture. Some require professional and mental health care. Like I mentioned before, camaraderie, going to my peer group meetings and meeting other veterans and just being in a safe space feels so wonderful. And I look forward to it. Some truths require community. Some require courage. Some require you being courageous enough for you to get yourself out of the situation. And some just require the sheer will of wanting to get better. So I'll say again that healing requires the will to want the healing, and growth requires the desire to grow. The desire to grow. You can be watered and fed, but if you don't want to grow, it's not going to happen. Clarity requires a desire to see it. Open your eyes. If it's your mind's eye, your third eye, I've never seen anybody with a third one, but there's intuition. Open it up. Change requires the desire to change. Simple as that. You cannot heal passively, you cannot grow accidentally, and you cannot evolve unwillingly. Because even Judas in this controversial text is told that he will attain salvation, but he will grieve and be rejected, meaning his path will hurt, his truth will isolate him, his assignment will cost him, his destiny will not look like anyone else's. But yet he must walk in it. You can attain healing even though you will grieve. You can attain clarity even though you will be misunderstood. You can attain peace even though some people will not understand your journey. You can attain purpose even though your path looks different. But you can't do it alone. You need professional and mental health care. And if that involves medication, you just got to do what you got to do. A willingness to see ourselves clearly, a desire to be better, a commitment to walk through the discomfort. And it's not all discomfort. It may start out like that a little bit. And I know with me, I have to adjust my vocabulary sometimes. It's like I go from, you know, I'm in severe pain, I'm in pain. And then that I had to switch that to say I'm in discomfort, because discomfort feels a little lighter than being in pain all the time. You know, so let's change our vocabulary and change your life, change your words, you know. And here's a part that really, let's bring it home, and that conflicting thinking does not disqualify you for doing anything that you desire to do. That does not disqualify you. Conflicting thinking does not diminish you. It does not define you. Know that for sure. And it does not erase your destiny. It doesn't interfere with anything you don't allow it to interfere with. It simply means that you're human. You're layered, you are complex, and you are evolving and navigating this world. Oh, the world is contradictory and imperfect. And just like Judas in that ancient text, may carry truths that others don't understand. I know I do. People don't understand me. And I just figured out that's not my problem. You may walk paths that others don't approve of, wrestle with thoughts that you feel contradictory, and may grieve. You may have been rejected and misunderstood, but you can still attain your healing, and you can still attain your purpose, and you can still attain your peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace is important. You can still attain your salvation, your destiny, whatever that means for you in your life. Unity Sunshine reminding you that conflicting thinking is not a flaw. It is a sign that your mind is working. You're alive. Pulse is pulsing. Your spirit is wrestling. Your destiny is unfolding. And your healing is still possible, even in the waiting room. So I had to close out this week with a call to action. To close this part of the mini-series, The Waiting Rooms of Life, I want to speak directly to your heart. Because everything we've talked about, from conflicting thinking, forgotten plans, ignored recipes, heavy truths, misunderstood assignments, all of it leads to one question. What do we do while we wait? What do we do while we sit in the tension between who we were and who we're becoming? What do we do when our thoughts contradict each other, when our emotions don't match our intentions, when our healing feels slow, when our destiny feels unclear, when our truth feels too heavy to carry alone? So let me tell you something, and I hope you never forget this. Waiting is not weakness. Waiting is not punishment. Waiting is not failure. Waiting is preparation. Waiting is preparation. The waiting rooms of life prepares us for the daily battles of living life. But preparation requires action. And we talked about today the Gospel of Judas, a text that shows us that conflicting thinking is ancient, human, and deeply spiritual. We talked about a text where Jesus actually tells Judas, you will attain your salvation even though you will grieve and be rejected. But this is a thing that you have to do. Family, that is a hard truth, a truth that would break most people, a truth that would confuse many a mind, and a truth that will send anyone into conflicted thinking. But it is also a truth that shows us something powerful, that you can still attain your healing even if the journey hurts. You can attain your purpose even if people misunderstand you. Even if people misguide you, you can still attain your purpose, because what's for you is for you. You can still attain your peace if your path is lonely. But I encourage you to find a village, find your troop, find your crew. You can still attain your destiny even if your thoughts are conflicted. But will you walk towards it? Because some truths about ourselves are too heavy to carry without help. Some truths require professional and mental health care. I've said that several times, but I reiterate it because it is true. The world is crazy right now. It is just so difficult. Every day there's a different battle to face. And we need to make sure that we are accepting help where help is being offered and not being embarrassed or being too proud. Because some of this stuff requires community, and some of it requires mental health care treatment, and some of that requires medication. Let's get ourselves together. Let's start feeling better. You don't know how bad you feel until you start feeling better. Grounding, spiritual grounding is important. Find something that brings you peaceful thoughts. Some truths require courage. All truths require the will to want to get better. You have to want it. Want it more for yourself than you want it for anyone else. You cannot heal passively, and you cannot grow accidentally. You cannot evolve unwillingly. So here's a call to action. Stop labeling every conflicted thought as PTSD. It happens to everybody. Oh, your thoughts are allowed to contradict. Your humanity is not a diagnosis. Seek professional mental health care. Not because you're broken, but because healing is too heavy to carry alone. And not only mental health care, but health care, fitness, wellness. Get out and walk. Get the sun. It's hot outside, so go walk early. Listen to the birds sing. Find something physical to do to push yourself and to push yourself toward physical health as well as mental health. Follow the recipe that you have written for your life. Go back and listen to last week's show at sistersinsilence.org. Click on the menu bar at the top of the webpage, and you can find the page for Ask the Chief Radio Show. And this whole series is posted 24 hours after it is aired on the radio. So you can go back and listen to last week's episode of Sitting in the Waiting Rooms of Life. And listen to how I put it in reference of recipes, and just really try to find a place in there to carve out something that'll work for you. You already know what brings you peace. You already know what brings you joy. You already know what ingredients no longer serve you. So remove what spoils your spirit and add what nourishes your life. So go back again to sistersinsilence.org. Go to the Ask the Chief page there at that website and listen to last week's episode of Sitting in Life's Waiting Room. Choose the will to get better. Healing is not a feeling, it is a decision. Accept some truths that'll hurt, but they will not destroy you. Just like Judas in that ancient text that we were reading, you may grieve. You may be rejected. You may be misunderstood, but you can still attain your salvation, your healing, your clarity, your purpose, your peace. It's all good, because what's for you is for you. Can't nobody walk in your shoes the way you walk in them. Can't nobody leave the same footprint, handprint, fingerprint as you. You're unique, and your destiny is yours alone. Don't wait to live. Your best life does not begin after you get a blessing. Your best life begins when you begin. And in the waiting room is not where your story ends. It's where your strength grows, where your clarity forms. It's where your courage awakens. It's where your healing begins. Find you a waiting room that's safe. Find your safety, find your people, find your spot, reach out. So as we close this chapter of this series, I want to remind you that you're not broken, you're just becoming. And you're not just becoming, you're always becoming, evolving, emerging, growing, becoming greater. You're not lost, you're just learning. You're not disqualified, you're developing. You're not alone, you are supported. And even in your conflicted thinking, even in your grief, even in your rejection, and even in your waiting, you will attain your healing. It's a decision, and that decision requires action. This is Chief Sunshine inviting you to step out of fear, step out of shame, step out of confusion, and step into life, a life that's waiting for you right now. I appreciate you tuning in today. And until next week, I salute you, and y'all take care of each other.
What you won't do to do for love. You tried everything, but you don't give up.